Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning this child. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. What a joy it is to be in your house on Sunday night, to be able to open your word and read it and preach it, and Father, hear from the Holy Spirit. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak to us tonight, that you remind us of the simple truth that we're going to talk about tonight, and that you'd not only remind us, but you'd help us to live it. And so I just pray you take charge of the service, you speak to every heart and mind. If there is somebody here that doesn't know Christ, I pray you'd help them to take that step of faith and receive him tonight. But most, if not all of us tonight, are Christians. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just help us to do what pleases God, to live by faith. So just bless the remainder of the service. Ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to just preach a very simple message tonight. And I want to read three other verses of Scripture. You don't need to turn to them. All three of them are very familiar passages of Scripture. Two from Hebrews chapter 11, and then one from Ephesians chapter 2. I want to talk about faith tonight. And I'll just tell you, the point of my message is that we need to live by faith. There's nobody here that can say, "Well, I don't know what faith is." Because I think everybody here is a Christian. I don't know that for sure, but I think everybody here is a Christian. And so you know what faith is, because you couldn't have got saved without faith. But I want to remind you tonight that it pleases the Lord when we live by faith. I want to look at the Christmas characters and show you quickly how they live by faith. And then I want to give you one example tonight before we get done. So let me read these three scriptures for you. First, from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, where the Bible says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So in these scriptures, we're told a couple of things. First of all, we're told what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If I can see something, I don't need faith. It's the evidence of things not seen. And so in the book of Romans chapter 8, the Bible says this, hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And so faith is when I can't see something and I can't explain something and yet I believe it. I believe it because God said it, and I can't explain it. I can't see it. I may not understand how what God tells me works, but faith is simply saying, I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to act on that belief. Now, I will tell you again that the vast majority of people here tonight know firsthand what faith is. The majority of people here tonight are Christians. And so you don't have an excuse when the Bible says we need to live by faith, and in order to please God, we need to live by faith. We as Christians don't have an excuse that can say, well, I'm not exactly sure what faith is. Because as a Christian, we know what faith is. As a Christian, we were saved by faith. We heard something. We heard that we were a sinner. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We heard that we were a sinner. Now, maybe when we first heard that, we didn't quite understand it. Maybe we thought we were a good person. But as the Holy Spirit worked on us, we came to understand that we had not lived up to God's expectations. We had broken his commandments. That made us a sinner. We came to understand, as we heard from the word of God, that there was a penalty for that sin. That we owed something for our sin. We owed a price to God. The wages of sin is death. Again, not physical death, but spiritual death. Separation from God. Then we heard in the Bible, as the Holy Spirit continued to deal with us, that we either had to pay the price of our sin or let Jesus pay it for us. And again, I've been preaching for a long time. I try to get salvation into every one of my messages, one way or another. I don't want anybody to ever come to our church on a Sunday morning or Sunday night, and not hear how to be saved. And so I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory we sing the new song, you know what we're going to be singing about in heaven? The old story of Jesus and his love. And so we heard the story. The Holy Spirit says, God loved you and he sent his son to die in your place. I tell you what, I've been preaching for a long time and I still think I'm just scraping the surface of what that means. I think every time I talk about it and every time I read about it, I understand it a little bit deeper. But the deeper I go, the deeper I realize I've got to go to fathom the depth of God's love and what he did when he sent Jesus to die for me. But even though I can't understand the depths of it, even though I may be still scraping the surface of it, I exercise faith. I can't explain to you why God loves us. I can't explain to you why he sent his son to die in our place. But I exercised that faith that God has dealt to every man, and I acted on what I heard. That's what faith is. It's when you can't see it, or you can't understand it, you believe it anyway because God said it, and you act on it. I acted on it. And I bowed, I got down on my knees with my pastor in front of that red vinyl couch on that tile floor in his office one night, and I asked Jesus to be my Savior. And he saved me. He saved me. That's what faith is. And so just the vast majority of people here, we know what faith is because we had it when we got saved. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says that we need to live by faith because that's the only way that we can please God. Without faith, it's impossible for us to please God. So God wants us to live our life in faith. So what does that mean? I hear something in the Bible. I may not be able to understand why it's true. I may not be able to understand why it works the way that God said it will work. But with faith, I claim it, I do it, and in doing that, I please God. And that's how he wants us to live. Now, quickly, let me just remind you of the faith that were exhibited by the characters in the Christmas story. We'll get to the shepherds that we read about just a moment ago. Adam preached on them last Sunday night, so it'll be a quick review. And so let me just talk about some of the other Christmas characters that exhibited faith in their part in the Christmas story. We talked about Mary this morning in Sunday school. And so if you were in Sunday school this morning, it's going to just be a little bit of a repeat, but I think it's worth repeating. Here she was, as Adam mentioned in open assembly. Her life was planned. She was engaged. She was betrothed. Her marriage had been arranged by her father. She was engaged or betrothed to Joseph. They had a contract. It could only be broken by a legal action of divorce. And they were living apart, as was the custom then, apart in their parents' home still. And then after a year in that arrangement, they would come together, they would be married, and marriage would be consummated. And here, in some place in that time period, an angel comes, Gabriel, the angel comes to Mary. And says, Mary, you are highly favored of God. You are favored of God. And again, we talked about it this morning. She didn't understand why an angel would come to visit her. I mean, she didn't come from an important family. They didn't have a lot of money. There was nothing from a worldly standpoint that would make Mary special in the eyes of God from a worldly standpoint. But she was special in the eyes of God. And God's favor was poured out upon her. And Gabriel said, Mary, here's how God's going to pour out his favor. You're going to conceive and you're going to give birth to a son. Now, let's just stop and imagine. Mary was probably 13 or 14 years old. That's how old they were when they entered into marriage back in that time. 13 or 14 years old. Her life's plan. She's going to marry Joseph. They're going to settle down. He's a carpenter. They're going to have a, you know, they're going to have a decent living as he works to provide for the family. The furthest thing on her mind was giving birth to a child in this period. I mean, she's only 13 or 14, as I mentioned this morning, but she knew that virgins did not have babies. She knew what was required to have a baby, and she knew that she hadn't done that, and yet here was an angel from God saying, hey, you're going to conceive and you're going to give birth. Can you imagine? Again, just imagine what must have went through her mind. I haven't been unfaithful with Joseph. I hadn't been unfaithful with anybody else. And yet here's an angel from God telling me I'm going to conceive and give birth to a son. And Gabriel said, you're going to name him Jesus. He's going to be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Highest. And again, Mary asked a question. We talked about it this morning. It was not a question of disbelief. It was just a question to understand how this was going to happen. She said, how can this be? How can this be? I'm not known man. How can it be? And in Luke, there, Gabriel explained to her how it could be. The Holy Spirit was going to come upon her. The Highest was going to overshadow her. And the son that was going to be born was going to be the Son of God. Now, so Mary heard. Mary heard. Now, she had a choice to make. Was she going to believe God? Or was she going to say, no way, this can't happen. Can't happen. And Adam mentioned it in open assembly. We talked about it in the lesson. After Gabriel explained it to her, she says, be it unto me according to thy word. She said, Lord, this is your will for my life. I had a plan for my life. I was moving along with that plan. This changes it. This changes it. But be it according to me, according to your word. Not my will, but thy will. And so she exhibited faith. She heard from God. She believed God. She acted upon what God said. Be it this, I surrender my will to you. And she exhibited faith, the kind of faith that we need to have all the time. The kind of faith we had when we got saved. The kind of faith we need to live our life by. Think about Joseph. Okay? Joseph, he was taking Mary for his wife. Their fathers had arranged a marriage, as was the custom back in that day. And Joseph found out, and I've often wondered, how did Joseph find out? I mean, did Mary come to him immediately after the angel visited her and tell Joseph? Or did Joseph just notice the changes that happened in a lady's body when they get pregnant and sort of put two and two together and say, what's going on? I sort of think it was the latter, because when he found out that Mary was pregnant, he immediately thought that she'd been unfaithful. And he was ready to divorce her. That's how you broke an engagement back in that day. You just couldn't break it off. You had to go. It was a legal proceeding. You had to get a divorce. And Joseph said, well, I'm going to divorce her, but I'm going to do it privately. I'm not going to make a big deal about it. I'm just going to put her away privately. And then Joseph went to sleep. Now, Mary wasn't asleep when the angel came visit her, but Joseph was asleep. And in a dream, an angel came to Joseph and said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife, because that child that she carries is the child of God. It's a child of God. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took her for his wife. He heard from God. He believed God. He acted on it. That's what faith is. Hearing from God, believing God, acting on it. We know what it is. That's what we did when we got saved. We heard from God, we believed him, we acted on it. That's what Mary did. She heard from God. She believed God. She acted on it. That's what Joseph did. He heard from God. He believed God. He acted on it. That's what the shepherds did. I mean, tending their sheep. An angel comes, disturbs the night, said, "Hey, I got good news for you. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And here's how you can find him. He's laying in a manger. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. They heard from God. That angel was a messenger from God. They heard from God. They believed God. They acted on it. Like Adam talked about last week. Let's go see this thing which the Lord hath made known unto us. That's what faith is. It's hearing from God. It's believing God. It's acting on that belief. That's what Mary did. That's what Joseph did. That's what the shepherds did. Let's go on. That's what the wise men did. They heard from God. They heard from God as they read the book of Daniel. They counted the weeks that Daniel talked about in his prophecy. When the weeks were up, they began to look for a sign. And then they saw the star. And they came to Jerusalem, the capital city of the Jews. They went to the king. I mean, who better to know where the new king would be born than the old king? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star, and we've come to worship him. So they heard from God. They heard from God through the prophet Daniel. They believed God, and they acted on it. When they saw the star, they came to worship the Savior. And again, we know their story. They presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they exhibited faith. That's what Mary did. That's what Joseph did. That's what the shepherds did. That's what the wise men did. They heard from God. They believed God. They acted on their belief. That's what we did when we got saved. So again, nobody has the excuse. Nobody can say tonight, "I don't know what faith is." Yes, you do, because you exhibited faith when you got saved. Now God says, "I want you to live by faith." Without faith, it's impossible to please me. And so as you live your life, I want you to live by faith. You hear from God, you believe God, and you act on that belief. Now, I thought Sue was going to get into my sermon tonight in her testimony. All right? When she was talking about losing her gift card and being worried about it. I've had something on my heart and mind the past couple of weeks. It's woke me up in the middle of the night. You say, "Are you worried about something?" I guess I am. Somebody asked me Wednesday night, "Preacher, do you ever get down in the dumps?" I said, "No, I never get down in the dumps." And then one of the wise guys in our church said, "Well, you get down in the dumpster, though." And I said, "Yeah, I got down in the dumpster." My brother was up yesterday, and we came and showed them the church. And I showed them the little dumpster that Brother Clyde gave me with the guy sticking in it. And I had to tell them the story. I usually don't worry. I mean, I don't worry. But this thing's been on my heart and my mind. And this week in my Bible reading, I came across Philippians 4:6, where the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Now, what that verse says is, don't worry. So, Sue, here we go. I mean, I think it was of the Lord that you lost that gift card and you're worried about it because it set the stage for the message tonight. God says, here's what he says, "I don't want you to worry." Worry is a sin. Worry is not trusting me. So when you worry, what we're doing is we're saying, "God, I don't trust you to take care of me. I don't trust you to take care of the things that are going on in my life." And so this thing that's been on my heart and mind that's woken me up in the middle of the night, I said, "Lord, I confess my sin. I don't usually worry, but I guess I've been worried about this thing. You directed me to this verse." I mean, Philippians wasn't on my Bible reading schedule this week, but I was reading something else that referred back to Philippians, so I went back and read chapter 4 of Philippians. Verse 6 was in neon lights. I mean, I noticed the verse before, but it was in neon lights this time. And God was just like he was saying to me, "Hey, do you see that verse? Be careful for nothing. Don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. In other words, before God answers your prayer, you go ahead and thank him because you know he's going to answer. Let your request be made known unto God. And when you let your request be made known unto God, he'll either take care of the things you're worried about or show you that you don't need to be worried about it. That he's got it under control. And so when I read that verse, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to exhibit the faith that you want me to live by. I know what's going on. It's not pleasing to you. And I confess my sin that I've been worried. And so I'm just going to give this thing to you. And simple childlike faith. Isn't it a wonderful thing when that phrase, simple childlike faith? You know, kids like Avery, they're so young, they just believe everything God says. Isn't that amazing? Those little kids, they don't have to think about it for a minute. If God says it, they just believe it. They don't know any better. That's what simple childlike faith is. When God says it, that's good enough. I don't need to worry about if he's going to keep his word or not. In simple childlike faith, I'm just going to believe God. That's what faith is. And so you believe God, and you act upon that belief. And so I prayed, Lord, I'm so sorry. I confess my sin. I've been worried about this thing, and I know you can take care of it. I know you can handle it. Now, he may not do it when I want him to do it. He may not do it in the way that I want him to do it, but his way is always better than mine. I learned a long time ago to try to quit telling God what to do, because whatever he does is always better than me telling him what to do. He's always got a better plan than I do. That's what faith is. That's how God wants us to look. This is just one little example. There's hundreds of things, thousands of things in this book that God says, I said it. Do you believe it? Huh? Simple childlike faith. Yeah, I believe it because God said it. He put it in his book. I'm going to believe it and live it. That's how we please him. And we can look back this time of year at Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men and see how they in faith played out the Christmas story. They heard from God. They believed God. They acted on what God said. And Mary and Joseph got to raise the Christ child. The shepherds got to come to the manger and be one of the first ones to see the Son of God in flesh. The wise men got to come from afar and worship him because of their faith. And that's how God wants us to live. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So, let's live by faith. Simple, childlike faith. Hearing from God, believing what God said, and then acting on it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of it. Thank you for reminding us that we do need to just believe you and trust you and live our life on that faith. And so I pray you'll help us to do that. I pray if there is somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that they will exercise the faith that you've dealt to every person. And as they hear the Bible, where they're a sinner and there's a penalty for their sin and Jesus paid for the penalty, they just believe it and act on it and come to Christ. Ask him to be their Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise that most of us here tonight claimed. We exercise the faith when we know Christ as our Savior. And if there is somebody here tonight that doesn't know that for sure, help them to come during this time of invitation. Bless it, Father. Ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.